It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back from the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We are going back to back here, looking at Penn State's 2019 recruiting class. A little refresher on who these guys are, what they bring to the table. And the interesting conversation today, which we had a little earlier in the week too, was guys who can make an impact right away. And it's interesting that this class is very good. It's top heavy, but it's also got some depth. Yep. It's got some intriguing guys down below, which a lot of those guys will talk about, what I call forgotten defensive linemen, in the segment right after this one. But instant impact is an interesting conversation, because some of the best players in this class just are not playing positions that seem to lend themselves to true freshmen coming in. Now, certainly, James Franklin is going to, you know, the best players are going to play. I think that's been proven again and again.
Sort of.
But it's kind of hard to see a path for a few of these big-time players, which would seem to suggest that maybe more than you might think are going to redshirt for next year. So instant impact is not as clear as you might want it to be.
Well, the problem with instant impact, like we talked about previously here, is that there's a handful of guys that will have every opportunity to be in that mix. It's just a question of who's going to rise to the top during camp. And we can sit here and say we're blue in the face that this guy had a good spring and this guy accomplished this in high school and so on and so forth. But injuries and actual camp reps are the two things that will help decide this pitcher and how much guys play. And also the third wild card is Joe Lorig, because it seems like he has complete control over what the special teams will do. Now, look, so there's going to be some things James Franklin and the other coordinators are going to have to sign off on. You know, I don't think they're going to let Micah Parsons go out and play every special team, so I'm sure Joe Lorig would certainly love to have him do that. But the point is that there's going to be some guys, I think, to get on the field in those special teams roles that maybe don't end up playing a lot of time at their true position, but they play on all four special teams and are major contributors. And, you know, if you go back and listen to our shows from last year, the only time we ever talked about the special teams was when it wasn't working the way it was supposed to. So a lot of these guys don't get necessarily a lot of credit or a lot of, nice things said about them or whatever, because when things go right, they were supposed to go right. And when they go wrong, you know, we talk about what went wrong. But to see that many guys get involved last year, I think probably tells you that even more will get involved this year.
So, yeah, that's a big part of the conversation is what are they going to do with special teams. And I'm interested to see with the way they used Jesse Luceda last year, if that's a precedent setter or if that was maybe a blip on the radar. I suspect it's going to be a precedent setter that they're going to be willing to use guys in just that capacity. So, there's going to be shades of gray, I think, because are you really going to use your five-star who might only have 3 years that you're expecting them to play? Are you really going to use that on special teams? But at the same time, you're able to move on to the NFL as a redshirt sophomore after 3 years on campus. So you might have just burnt the opportunity to use this guy by having him play less than four games.
How does the transfer portal impact all these decisions in your mind? Because now it almost feels like if a guy isn't going to have a huge role, maybe he's going to look to move on. But conversely, if a guy, is it a way to maybe entice more players to stick around by getting more guys than you would expect to play in those four games or less into games? And I think that could play a role too, between returns and kick coverage and, sub packages and everything else. What is the right balance of putting obviously your best guys out there versus a guy who's maybe really close but not quite as good as your best guy, but by getting him the reps, you could get him valuable experience. Oh, and by the way, entice him to maybe not look for a greener pasture, because he can see and envision where that path is going to lead him in Penn State based on the amount of time he gets to play. So I hate to talk about it like that, because it almost, it feels like going maybe a little bit overboard, but at the same time, guys, it's just the way college football has transitioned to a point where if kids don't see the field or they don't have the kind of role they want when they want it, there's every opportunity for them to go look for it somewhere else.
It is all part of the new conversation, I would say, around college football, is that we don't know how all these different rule changes, and you have the 4-game redshirt rule that came into play. You have the more freedom of movement with the transfer portal. So you're going to see more guys after their, you know, in Penn State's case, they're committed. And I suspect they're going to remain committed to graduating guys as early as they possibly can to give them options. If you graduate after 3 or 3.5 years, you can then, you can pursue a master's, you can pursue the NFL, you can pursue a transfer. I think they're trying to create maximum flexibility for both themselves and for the players themselves. So I think you're going to see Penn State near, you know, in the upper third of losing transfers, I think, because they're set up that way.
Yeah.
Now, how it factors into whether they do or don't burn red shirts, I have no idea. I don't think you really know, especially if you're talking about making decisions as freshmen. You don't really know at that point in time, like, is this guy a player or is this guy not a player? Is this a guy who in two, three years is going to be a middling option on our depth chart? I don't think you know that yet. But sometimes playing special teams is a way to reveal more information about them because you are putting them in competitive situations. Let's talk about the segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, by the way. Special deal coming up, running through the end of June. For the first 2 weeks of the year, Idaho and Buffalo, those two games, if you buy an RV, you get a second one for free for the same game. So once again, that deal runs through the end of June for Idaho and Buffalo. So you can invite more friends, you can invite more family, twice the fun for everybody. And to go with the buy one, get one offer, everybody who comes gets a free 409 Tailgate Club meal for that weekend. The deal is good through the end of June. Awesome for Father's Day. I think that goes without saying. It's GoPSURV.com. You can reach out to Mark directly about the offer at 1-800-519-8467. Greg, let's get into some names here. We talked about the theory of playing early. The names, I think there's really just three names at the top of my list. I suspect your list will be the same. So the three names are Noah Kane, Keaton Ellis, Jaquan Brisker. Those are a cut above everybody else, I think, in the 2019 class in terms of playing early because I think there are opportunities there. And I think that, you know, in Brisker's case, having 2 years of experience at Lackawanna College, and then Kane and Ellis's case, absolutely made the most of that, of enrolling in January, made the most of winter conditioning and then spring football as well. They're positioned to play key roles. And Brisker, there's an opening there for him. And you assume that not only his polish, but also his ball skills and some playmaking ability could go a long way back there at safety.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to see Brisker. There's no doubt about that. We're definitely going to see Kane. That's not up for debate. So those two guys will play.
I don't even know if Ellis is up for debate anymore. The way the spring went?
I just wonder, because him and Wilson seem to be about, Marquise Wilson seem to be about in the same place. And I just wonder, Dustin, with what they have at corner with Castro Fields, with Donovan Johnson, with John Reed, you know, I just wonder if they don't, you know, kind of, you know, play maybe Ellis the first game, Wilson the second game, both of them the third game. So that would give each of them two games of their four, and then maybe assess things from there going into the conference late and see what they want to do with those guys. So I think it might be close on him. He's definitely in the mix. I'm going to do a little bit of semantics and note that grad transfers are a part of the 2019 signing class, even though they aren't recruits. So I'm going to point to Weston Carr here, Division II All-American at Azusa Pacific, I believe. Mm-hmm. A guy that's 6'2", 200 pounds, in a sea of many faces, but no real certainty outside of KJ Hamler and Jahan Dotson. I think he has every chance to make an impact. George Campbell, I'm a little bit more leery on. I mean, I love the idea of let's get this former five-star recruit on campus, and guess what? If he doesn't work out, well, then, you know, so what? But it was worth a shot. And I think Carr maybe is a I don't want to say a little bit more of a surefire thing, but we've seen him do it at the college level, and he's been productive. And I won't be shocked to see him maybe utilized in a way like Tommy Stevens does, kind of like the line, where he can line up at a couple of different spots and make defenses think about what exactly it is he's going to do once the ball is snapped. So he's a guy I have in that conversation as well.
So if we're getting into that, yeah, I think Weston Carr above George Campbell, I would agree with that. You know, George Campbell, that size-speed combination is pretty rare, but he's also, you know, a five-star who wasn't healthy enough, wasn't productive at Florida State, and there was a reason he changed spots. Weston Carr, obviously he's got one more run at it. I think he's trying to showcase that he can play at a high level, you know, at the FBS level instead of Division II. So wide receiver, that depth chart is interesting. It's crowded. It's crowded, but, you know, nobody really knows how it's going to unfold. The other interesting dynamic when it comes to the wide receiver depth chart is that you've got two guys, KJ Hamler and Jahan Dotson, who are presumably, to start the year, your numbers one and two wide receivers, your two best guys. You've also got Justin Shorter involved. You got a host of other players, but your two best wide receivers are both 5'9", 5'10". And what does that – I don't know what that means yet. Does that mean nothing? I think it means something. So I think there's going to be a need for maybe a couple of these bigger wide receivers to see the field and kind of counteract that small wide receiver thing.
Right.
To circle back to instant impact, you know, I think we mentioned it before, but, you know, some of the better players in this class, Lance Dixon, Brandon Smith, Adisa Isaac, John Dunmore, speaking of wide receivers, Devin Ford, Caden Wallace, they're not really playing positions that there's a lot of need. Caden Wallace as a guard slash possibly tackle, he's not going to see the field as a freshman. Devin Ford, now with Noah Cain's rise, how does he jump into the mix there with you know, having surrendered a head start? John Dunmore, can he really thrive in 4, 6, 8 weeks or whatever on campus? That's a tough one to figure out too. So you might have a situation here, Greg, where most of your top talent in the 19 class redshirts, and you're looking at them to make an impact in 2020, which to me, the way that the roster sets up, that's not such a bad thing to have these guys getting their quote-unquote start next season.
No, not at all. I mean, I think that sometimes you do want to rush these guys on the field because they're so talented, but you know, James Franklin made a good point about Michael Mennett last year when he said, look, this is a guy that so many people thought was going to play right away. Well, guess what? Sometimes it takes time to develop, and you shouldn't change your expectations or be disappointed about a guy, you know, taking a little bit longer to get on the field. So, you know, Justin Shorter could very well be in that same boat, and some of these 2019 kids could eventually be too.
So we're going to stick with the 2019 theme, take a quick break. We're going to look at some of the defensive linemen who are all the way at the bottom of the class that you shouldn't forget about. Stay tuned.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.